From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour is made on stages across Rochester, across New York State, around the country, around the world, really. These are the places where some of the most powerful musical talents are typically showcasing their sound. But since March, most stages have been quiet and empty. When's the last time you saw a live show? Small venue, medium, large, indoor, outdoor. Have you seen any music live this year? I think the last one I saw was like the first week of the pandemic, and it was a home concert with Daniel Ponder. Well, while so many musicians have been left to perform in isolation amidst the COVID-19 pandemic, WXXI has invited four dynamic bands to each record a live session, yes, audience-free, on stage at the newly restored Little Theater. Preserving diverse musical performances, presenting, paired not just with the music, but also these really intimate interviews, really cool kind of portraits of these musicians, what they're doing and why. It's called Home Stage at the Little, sharing the magic that happens when musicians finally come together to play once again. And I know we want to be there in person. We can't quite yet in most cases, but this series is a little bit of a way for us to get through the next month or so. The series is airing on Fridays, started last Friday, and it's going all the way through November 27th. Friday, 8:30 p.m. on WXXI-TV. Each episode repeats on Saturday at 11:30 on WXXI-TV. Maybe you saw it on WXXI's YouTube channel already, the first episode, with Daniel Ponder, who is with us with Avis Reese, talking about their music. Daniel Ponder, welcome back to the program.
Hey, Evan. Thank you for having me.
Avis, always great. Nice having you as well.
Thank you so much for having me.
At one point in Friday's interview that you were doing with Homestage, Danielle brings something up that I want to ask both of you about, because I think, Danielle, what you said was, I can't even remember the last time this band played in front of an audience. You're laughing,
mm-hmm,
going,
mm-hmm.
Did you think about it more? Do you know yet? Was it, it probably was like the first week of March, or was it even farther back?
Yeah, I mean, we played a smaller show maybe 2 months ago or maybe a month ago in Pennsylvania. But with the full band, with these members, I have not thought about it more, and I don't recall.
What about you, Avis?
I want to say it was that January show in the church. I think that might have been the last one with that band.
That might be true. Yeah, that sounds about right.
I mean, there's no way, if I would have told you in January we'd be sitting here talking in November and you hadn't played a live show. I mean, amazing. I watched you guys. What were you, a week into the pandemic when you did that home show that was just unreal and we were all sort of depressed and emotional? No offense, guys, but we need you to do that like every Wednesday or something like that.
Yeah. That was pretty early on, and it was exciting. And I think we did two, and they were exciting, and I was really happy about doing it. And then the thought of them became a little bit more depressing
for
me. It's like, what are we doing? Is this our life right now?
Yeah, and it is. It is, but that's why I think WXXI and The Little wanted to step in and put these performances out there to the community, because we all sort of need it. So Homestage at The Little is on Fridays. You guys were in the first episode. And let me ask both of you, I'll start with you, Danielle. How did this sort of come onto your radar, and what did you think of doing this down at The Little, you know, on this beautiful stage, but with no audience there?
So I'm going to spend this time to give you a shout out for The Little and WXXI, and this is very genuine. When they called me and asked me to do it, I was like, oh, you know, I'm really busy, but I love The Little Theater. And they were like, you know, we got you. We're going to take care of you. We'll feed you. We'll pay you everything. So I was like, okay, cool. But I also asked them, I said, well, the one thing I want to ask anyone who books us is, what other artists do you have? And have you made sure that you have a diverse roster? And they were like, oh, yeah, we got this person, that person, that person, right? And then when we got there, we were just treated like we were famous almost, right? Like, I can't tell you, Evan, how much I appreciate what The Little did for us. And it kind of reminded me of that world that I've been a part of for so many years of my life that was kind of taken away from me. But one, the diversity in the roster, making sure that they had folks of color on this, which is not unusual for festivals or events to not even think of that. And to make sure that they're paying artists as well as treating artists well when they come into that space. And then after I watched the video and saw just how much time they put into this, I wrote them an email because I was like in tears about this. I know they're struggling themselves because they haven't been able to do shows. So that's just my, you could add that to like the telethon when it happens. To support the little theater and support WXXI.
We'll take it. Avis, what did you think of this idea?
You know, I really walked into it kind of thinking that it was just like any other virtual show that we've done before. I mean, we've done a few of these types of tapings. But when I got there, it was like as soon as I got out of my vehicle and I'm unloading my gear, there were cameras there, like a reality TV show. And it just like they really upped the production level of it. And it really made me feel like they're trying to really not just enter this space of virtual concerts like everyone else, but actually make it something unique and something interesting and incorporating the interview that they did with Danielle. I think they did an excellent job at executing that and really creating something special.
Well, let's listen a little bit. Should we listen to something?
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. We got a little bit. Well, let's listen first, and then maybe we'll drop it down underneath, and we'll come back and talk about it. This is a little bit.
He just wants to love her, but his love is no match for pride. Tries to get closer. She tells him, baby, it just ain't worth your time. Worth your time. She don't want to get her hopes up now. So she learned to put her guard up. She won't be let down. She can't be.
Let me ask producer and engineer Megan Mack through the glass. This is from the home stage? Is it Daniel Ponder? This has got to be recorded elsewhere, right?
This is not from home stage.
Okay, no. I just want to make sure. Okay. This is new.
The sound in home stage was amazing and the mix.
Okay, yeah, because I was going to say, I don't recognize this from home stage having just watched it, but this is so good.
This sounds
so.
My new single. I wanted to do a shameless plug.
Oh, do it. Just do it. I mean, do you know, Danielle and Avis, how much people just need great music and love and soul right now? I mean, like, it's so.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So I'm so glad you did this. So, who are we hearing besides you, Danielle? Who are we hearing right here?
So this is actually a band from Australia. I recorded this in January in the midst of forest fires in Australia. And I just met the band that day. And this is what we came up with that night.
Really cool stuff. Oh, my gosh. And so it's available now where?
Everywhere you can listen to music. Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you get your music.
You know, you and I have talked for much of the last year about the process of, you know, maybe putting another record out, you know, either doing one song at a time or doing everything in one big drop. What's your thought process now on how you're creating and releasing music, Danielle?
God, everything has changed so much because of, you know, I'm working again. I just haven't been in that headspace, Evan. So I hope that I can have something by early spring 2021. But I do have several songs out, several singles out that you can stream. And yeah, I'm working on it, allegedly.
So let's ask both of you, you know, on a more serious note here, Avis, how tough has this year been on you as a musician? How much do you thrive on performing live in front of an audience? And what has this been like for you?
You know, I think this year really kind of confirmed how much I actually enjoy live performance because, you know, I'm more of a kind of shy behind the scenes person. And so while I always love performing, I didn't know how much I actually relied on it. And so this time has been really hard because I haven't felt nearly as musically motivated. You know, I thought coming into this, you know, pandemic, I was going to practice every day and write songs, and that just hasn't been the case. And I think it's because I do miss that interaction with other musicians or having that response from an audience kind of to push me to just be better and do more. So it's been rough, and it's kind of been, you know, I guess a roller coaster of emotions and trying to figure out, okay, like snap out of it. We're all feeling the same thing. Stop throwing yourself a pity party. But some days it just be like that.
What is the rush like for you, Avis, when you do have a crowd that is just sort of grooving in a trance to the music that you guys are creating?
I just think it's a beautiful moment. Like I think the types of crowds we go to, especially when it's our first time around a brand new crowd and they aren't familiar with our music. So it's not like, you know, we're a Rochester crowd, they sing along or whatever. It's when you have this crowd, it's their first time hearing it and it resonates with them. It just makes me feel like we're actually accomplishing something much bigger than we even imagined. And so I missed that part of knowing that we're making some type of impact on people by what we create.
What do you expect, Avis, to happen with the local music scene, assuming we get on our track to some kind of normalcy? And I sort of want to be careful, you know, asking about this because I don't want to presume and I don't want everybody to think that there's going to be some day in January or February or March or April or May or whatever where everyone gets a shot in the arm and then we all have a parade and a party, you know, and everybody does what, you know, everybody goes out to see a show, goes to see me. I don't know. I mean, it's probably going to be more gradual than that. I'm not trying to be sort of naive, but once we get to a point, Avis, where it is somewhat normalish, what do you expect the music scene to be like? And is that an optimistic vision in your mind, or are you worried about the long-term effects of the last year?
I don't know if I have an actual answer for that. I do feel that once things kind of open back up, there will be more of an appreciation for live music. I hope that when we do get to that place, though, we see more diversity in these spaces, because, you know, people will log on to the live streams for acts that they weren't going to live shows for. So I hope that to see these spaces a little more inclusive for different genres and different bands.
Danielle Ponder, what's it like for you when you know you've got the audience in the palm of your hand?
Oh, God. It's the best feeling. I can't, there's nowhere I would rather be than on stage with a group of folks who are vibing out, singing the lyrics. I can't even put that feeling into words. You just feel so supported and so connected. And yeah, I kind of went down a rabbit hole last night of looking at all of these old performances of our band on Instagram. And it was actually depressing. I'm not even going to front. actually was very depressed when I was finished. But yeah, I think I'm like Ava said this before a few months ago, like this is grief. Like we're grieving the loss of mm-hmm. our audience, mm-hmm. you know, on the stage.
Yeah. I mean, listen, we're all grieving the loss of live talent like yours. and, you know, Danielle, I learned some things watching WXXI's performance and what they put together for home stage. I learned some things, including Black August. What is the name Black August about? And tell us about Black August.
Well, yeah, that was our family band that we had maybe like 10, 15 years ago at this point. And my grandmother's name is Maddie August, and so we became Black August, which is also a it commemorates the San Quentin prison riot as well as the Haitian Revolution. So, yeah, that was my first band back in the day.
Was it good?
It was amazing.
Of course it was good.
You know, probably if I go back and listen, I may be like, oh, Lord. But
no.
We grew up together. So it was just like we had this energy that you can't buy.
Absolutely.
And we were all cousins.
And, you know, you've even posted some video of your dad strumming a bit. I mean, there's all
yeah.
kinds of talent in your family. That was beautiful what you have shared on social.
My dad's listening right now.
Oh, my gosh.
So
well, if he
is, listen to your show.
If he is, we know where you're getting it from because mm-hmm. I loved hearing that. I guess your whole family's got it.
Yeah, my mom has started singing now, so her and my father sing at church, and I'll just leave it there. You're doing great. You're doing great, Mom.
I'll let you guys go in a second. I just want to ask a couple more quick things because I just love talking to the absolute best talent. And, Danielle, I am probably like a lot of listeners. When no one is in the car with me, I will cut it loose. I will sing. And in my head, it sounds roughly like you, you know, like it sounds, you know, it's,
I'm sure you're killing it.
Oh
my,
you would really be appalled. But, everybody sort of does that because singing feels good. And I'm trying to even teach my 8-year-old, don't care what people think. It feels, if it feels
exactly,
good and it's
exactly.
important, it's important to let that out a little bit, but there is a difference between what Avis and Danielle can do and what most of us could do. How old were you, Danielle, when you knew that it was real? Like this, I can do this.
Actually, not until I was probably 19 and I performed in college. Yeah. You got to understand, my sister is an amazing singer. My father was an amazing singer. So my little singing that I was doing around the house didn't impress anyone. when I left that home of talent and went to college, people were like, wow, because they didn't hear my father and my sister, right? So not until much later did I really think, oh, man, I actually am, you know, pretty good.
Wow. Wow. I mean, you are humble. Because I thought you were going to say like 6-10 years old. Avis,
no, I actually remember singing when I was like 10, and my sister looked at me and was like, uh-uh.
Oh, my God.
No, nope.
Oh, my God. Avis, what about you? When did that dawn on you that this was the real deal with you?
Yeah, I would probably say, in terms of like being a performer, I was in my 20s before I considered myself a performer. Like I considered myself a musician and like decent enough, you know, as a kid, but I didn't think that I can call myself an artist or a performer until my 20s.
Wow. Well, we're so lucky to have you, and WXXI and the Little Theater were thrilled that you were able to lead off home stage at the Little this past Friday. So, listeners, if you're just joining us, Homestage at the Little is a November music series. There's 4 different sets that you can see on Fridays. Daniel Ponder, Avis Reese, and the band are already been on there on this past Friday, but you can check it out on WXXI's YouTube. Maybe you saw it this past Friday at 8:30 p.m. You can watch every Friday this month, 8:30 p.m. or Saturday at 11:30 p.m. It's really fun stuff. It's bands like this down at the Little Theater on that beautiful stage, unfortunately in an empty theater mostly, but recording their live performance so we can take it in on a Friday or Saturday night. Danielle, Where do we find more of your music? Tell the audience one more time where you want them to go.
You can go to DanielPonder.com. Also follow me on Instagram and Facebook. And all of the links to my music are there.
Avis, you want to add to that? Where do you want people to go to find music like yours?
Oh, you can follow me on Instagram. I post little things there. Avis Reese on Instagram.
R-E-E-S-E, Avis Reese. And Danielle, when are you going to be back on stage in front of an audience? A vaccine comes out on a Tuesday. Are you playing on Friday night?
You know, Evan, if I keep reading your Twitter, which is so depressing.
No!
Evan's always like, yes, Tim. I really hope, Evan, the vaccine comes out and we all feel comfortable. And yes, this summer, I want to do festivals. I think I'm not going to, you know, I'm really going to be sad.
No, we're going to do it.
Not have festivals.
We're going to do it. We're going to do it. We're going to get there.
I need some more optimism from you,
okay.
Evan.
I take that as a call to arms. I really do. So I will take that because I want to project optimism. I've been a little disappointed in sort of the lack of collective will to do the right thing at times. And that sometimes that gets me down.
Yeah.
But you know what? We're going to get there. And we're going to have live music again. But for now, we got home stage. Danielle Ponder, always good to hear you. I will see you at some point sooner than later. It's going to happen.
All right. Thank you, Evan. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Avis Reese,
and
same.
This is important, and I do want to say that life is so much more important. I know that. So we do have to follow the protocols, wear the mask, and I can handle that. But, you know, I'm hoping we get through this.
Oh, no, absolutely. We miss you, and we miss seeing the talent. And so thank you, and Avis, thank you as well. Great talking to you, and we will see you on stage at some point.
All right. Thank you so much for having me.
Danielle Ponder, Avis Reese, they were part of the first set performing for home stage at the Little Theater. WXXI presenting this outstanding series of talent, local talent, live shows, no audience at the Little, but recorded by WXXI. And you get the music. You also get really beautiful, intimate interviews and conversations. So you get to know these performers maybe better than you have before. And our next guest is Herb Smith, who is with us now, and Herb's going to be featured coming up here. We thought we'd preview that, Herb Smith and the Freedom Trio. Herb, welcome back to the program. How are you?
I'm good, Evan. How are you?
Well, I wish we could see you in person, but you know what? We are all looking forward to this Friday on WXXI-TV at 8:30 or Saturday at 11:30 for home stage with Herb Smith and the Freedom Trio. Hey, we all know Herb Smith. Who's the Freedom Trio, Herb?
Well, the Freedom Trio is... it's a group I've had for a while, and the bass player is Peter Swazik, who I've played with him for over 20 years. And then the drummer is actually someone who was very new to us because my original drummer wasn't available. So I got this guy, a student, his name is Dana Wendell from Eastman, and it was just fantastic.
Well, we're thrilled that you were able to do it with WXXI. What did you make of that invitation, and how did it go at the Little?
Oh, my goodness. Well, first of all, are you hearing me okay? I'm hearing like a double thing.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're not getting an echo here.
Okay, fine.
I'm sorry that you are.
All good. Oh, yeah. No, all good. No, I mean, I got the call from XXI for this, and I really didn't know what to make of it. You know, I'm like, okay, you're going to do a show on me in prime time, and okay, let's do this.
Was it a lot of fun being down there, or was it strange being in an empty theater?
Well, it was both. It was fun to play with the group and to just connect in that way and to be in a place so nice at the Little Theater. It is interesting because I really learned how much I feed off the audience. You know, like, just you look in the audience and people are tapping their foot. or their head is bobbing a little bit,
mm-hmm.
you know, and when you're in a theater and it's just cameramen in there or camera women or whatever.
Yeah.
They actually are not moving at all because they don't want to be bouncing the camera. Right. So it's like, you play this good thing. You look at the audience and people are like trying to be still.
It's the opposite of what you're used to. Yeah.
Yes. The opposite.
Oh, well, but let me just jump in there, Herb, because, you know, you're somebody who might be more accustomed to that than most. And I say that maybe a little ignorantly. Let me ask you about the various kinds of stages you're on. So when you're leading the Freedom Trio, that's one thing. I mean, you're one of Rochester's premier jazz combos. You're used to that. The audience is vibing. They're moving. It's a real groove, and it feels great, I'm sure, and people are into it. And then, of course, you play with the Rochester Philharmonic Orchestra. And when you're playing with the Phil, I'm not saying people aren't into it, but there's a different expectation for how the audience observes the music, when the audience comes in to applaud. And it strikes me as a very different sort of vibe and feeling as a performer and what you might be aware of with an audience. But maybe that's wrong. Can you offer some insight on that?
Well, like in classical music, you know, if you're in an orchestra, there's movement within the orchestra too. You know, and there's the people, we're moving with the music, and so there's that. And plus, I'm kind of far back. I'm in the back, so I don't really see the audience too much. But yeah, it is a different expectation, for sure, for the difference between classical and jazz.
When you say that, you know, you're not even really seeing the audience there, that's true. But you're also not even really hearing them until there's applause, you know, when a piece is over, and maybe not even in between movements. I mean, I'm sure I'm like a lot of people who. As excited as I was the first time I went to see the Phil years ago, I probably was one of the few people clapping in between movements going, okay, wait, I'm sorry, I'm not supposed to do that, you know, trying to learn the rules.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that I want to do in classical music is to break that barrier a little bit,
mm-hmm.
you know, and kind of liven it up. And I've been conducting. That's another way I see the audience, right? I conducted RPO on some education concerts and putting together those programs. I'm always trying to break that whole, like, okay, should I clap? Should I not clap? You know, am I acting? You know, I want it to be more alive and lively. So, yeah, but you're right. You know, don't clap between the third and the fourth movement of a Beethoven symphony. Don't do that.
Whatever. I loved it. I'm going to clap, Herb. All right? You're going to have to come out of your chair and come after me.
Go for it, man. Go for it.
Talking to Herb Smith. Herb Smith and the Freedom Trio are going to be featured on Friday night, and let's focus on their music. We're going to play Damn It Walpole, and then we'll talk about this a little bit. Can we do that, Herb?
Yeah, man. That's great.
Let's do it. Yeah, I love some of that funk that comes in there. Can you tell me a little bit about this one, Herb?
Yeah, man, sure, no problem. So, there was a guy named Dan Walpole. He's a good friend of mine. And he let me borrow this book. And every time I saw him, and I haven't given him the book back yet, I would say, damn it, Walpole, I ain't got your book. And he's cool about it. He's not thinking about it, but I am. So like, every time I saw him, damn it, Walpole, I ain't got your book. And then that became a rhythm for me. Damn it, Walpole, I ain't got your book. Damn it, Walpole, I ain't got your book. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Right? And so
that's amazing.
That's the basis of that song. You know, I ain't got your book. You know, the melody.
That's what you're hearing, you know, when that.
You know, that's the those are the words. I left it in the trunk with a lot of junk, then it got a lot of wrinkles on it. You know, so that was where that piece came from.
That is an awesome look inside the mind of a brilliant musician, and it is not what I expected. That is not what I expected, Herb. Is that atypical or typical of your musical process, that something that kind of gets rhythmically in your head becomes the spine for what you create musically?
That is typical. I write a lot of, like if something flows from your mouth, then it's got a natural rhythm to it. And then if you can make music from that, when people hear it, it's just going to feel familiar. It's going to feel good, you know? So I wrote this other song called Nanny Babysitter because a friend of mine used to watch my daughter for me, and she was like the nanny babysitter. And I was very thankful for her. And I just got saying, nanny babysitter, nanny babysitter, nanny babysitter, nanny babysitter. And then it's a song.
That's amazing.
So, yeah.
It could be really any kind of line that gets in your head that's rhythmic. That's phenomenal. But you know what would happen to me, Herb, if I were trying to emulate that approach? I'd be driving to work, and there'd be something that gets in my head, and by the time I got to work, it'd be gone. Does that ever happen to you?
Oh, all the time. You know, and like sometimes I'll think of something, and then I have a little melody. I'm like, okay, that's the next hit right there. That's it. And then I'll get home and I'll be like, what was that melody? So I've been using my phone, my voice record a lot. You know, so when these little things come to me, I'll just like pit my voice record and like sing it in there. And then I can just let it go, then come back and go, oh, there's that tune.
Wow. Talking to the brilliant Herb Smith from Herb Smith and the Freedom Trio. The episode with Herb Smith and the Freedom Trio airs this Friday, Friday night, 8:30 on WXXI-TV's Home Stage at the Little. We love this series. It's a November series on Friday and Saturday nights for you to check out. It's essentially live music, recorded live, no audience at the Little because of COVID, but we're trying to fill that gap for you. WXXI and the Little, filling that gap for your need for live music because this community needs it. I got to think the musicians need it. You know, Herb, we were talking to Daniel Ponder and Avis Reese about that. I mean, they couldn't even remember the last show that they did in front of a real crowd, a live crowd. They figure it was probably in January. And they said that, you know, early on they were trying to kind of do these creative online performances, but then it just kind of got depressing. They miss it so much, that connection. What is it like for you?
Well, you know, it's really interesting because I have been doing a lot of different things pertaining to the pandemic. So I am in a brass quintet called Gateway Brass Collective, which we're actually having a performance Friday through the Gateway Music Festival, which is going on right now, and it's virtual. And we've been doing recordings, you know, where we send out the click to one person, and then they play their part, and then I'll play my part on top, and then we've been making compositions and videos with that. So I've been doing a lot of that. And then the trio, actually, we played a gig. We did an outdoor gig in Ithaca, and the cars drove up. And so after every tune, people would honk their, you know, honk their horns and stuff, and yeah, honk, honk, honk. You know, so it was just amazing because that was like one of the first gigs that I had done in front of an audience in a very long time.
You're like Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. There is driving up and honking.
Yeah, it was really fun. It was really fun. And doing this show with WXXI was really amazing because of just everyone, like all the production crew and the sound people and the video people. They were just so cool and so great. And it just really feel like a celebrity or something. You know, it was just really, really fun. Yeah.
Well, before I let you go, I just want to ask you a little bit about your thoughts on how we connect to one another. I mean, certainly music is art. You know, you've been with the Rochester Phil, you've been with the trio, you've played music in a lot of different venues, large and small, and in a lot of different sort of kinds of audiences and settings. And art is a very important way for all communities to interact and connect to one another. And I take Daniel Ponder's point that she made in the first edition of Homestage this past Friday when she said, you know, frankly, she hates COVID. You know, she's really feeling disconnected. And it has not been easy for musicians. It's not been easy for communities. Do you think we're learning anything about, I mean, is it optimistic of me, Herb, to hope that we're learning something valuable about this, that in a world where we're really on our devices a lot, that face-to-face and human interaction, whether it's at a live concert or at a coffee shop or on the street, is so missed and so valuable that we will treasure it more? Or do you think that it'll take a week and we'll get back to our old routines when this whole thing is over?
That's a long question. I think that both and. I think that people are going to cherish live performances more, you know, and I think people, I'm hoping at least optimistically, that people will support live because we've missed it. At the same time, we've had to survive in the virtual realm. And I think that has opened up new doors of connection musically and art through internet and virtual. So I think for me, I have gained a lot of skills that I would not have gained if it weren't for the pandemic. And so I'm going to be trying to work both and. I want to model out there, live performances, big crowds, you know, the whole deal. But at the same time, there's some virtual things that I learned that I think are keepers.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I think that's probably really a realistic and pragmatic way of looking at it. It's probably very realistic. Herb, it's always great to talk to you. I do look forward to seeing you again in person at some point, but we are grateful.
Yes.
We are grateful at WXXI and The Little for having an opportunity to bring your music to our television audiences. So we're going to have fun watching you and the trio on Friday night at 8:30, Saturday night at 11:30. Thanks for sharing your insight with us this hour.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you.
Always so good to talk to Herb Smith, one of the truly kind and thoughtful people you will meet in Rochester, and one of the towering musical talents. Friday night, said it, Make sure you see it Friday night, 8:30 on WXXI TV, the home stage at Little, or Saturday at 11:30 if you miss it on Friday. And after our only break, we're going to come back and talk to Maybird, who's also going to be featured later this month. I'm Evan Dawson. Thursday on The Next Connections, we're joined by Abe Foxman, an attorney and activist whose work focuses on combating anti-Semitism, bigotry, and discrimination. He'll be a virtual guest of Nazareth College to talk about hate crimes. We preview his presentation. In our second hour, a conversation about the new Office of Renewable Energy, which was created to speed up the development of large-scale siting projects. Where to put these kinds of projects? We'll discuss it. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson, WXXI, bringing four bands to the Little Theater to record their own live sessions for this new series that premiered this past Friday on WXXI-TV and continues every Friday throughout the month of November with the re-airs on Saturday night at 11:30. So Friday night's at 8:30, Saturday night's at 11:30, and we're bringing in the crew from Maybird, who is with us now. I want to welcome Josh Netsky, who is a singer-songwriter with Maybird. Josh, welcome to the program. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you for having us on.
And Sam Snyder, also with us. Sam, welcome. How are you doing?
Good, good. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, we're thrilled to have you, and we loved having you on stage with this series, which is going to be later this month for your episode. Before we get there, Josh, what about you? What's the last time you remember playing live in front of an audience?
I believe it was at Three Heads. It was the only show that we played in front of an audience this year, and that was January 4th, so
January
4th. 9 months ago.
No, dude, that's 11 months, dude.
Or 11 months. Well, time doesn't exist. Right?
Yeah. What is time, anyway?
9 months ago is it's when the pandemic hit. That's what I'm thinking.
That's right. So for you, Josh, what has it been like as a musician? I mean, there's no way most musicians would have believed it if they were to be told at the outset of the year that you're just not going to be playing in front of live audiences at all. That's not even going to be an opportunity for the most part. What has the year been like for you, Josh?
It's been extremely weird. I've gotten a lot of recording done, so that's been nice. But aside from that, I mean, just not being able to go out to shows, it was just a pretty huge part of my life before. It's just gone.
What about you, Sam? What's it been like for you?
This has been the most strangest time of my entire life because, you know, the things that we've kind of find out ourselves defining ourselves with being music and shows and all that, like, kind of subculture and everything is just sort of on pause. And, you know, we're trying to do the things we can from home and make some of those adaptations. But I feel like nothing really completely keeps the monster at bay of the desire of playing shows and stuff, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what did it mean to you, Sam, to get on stage at the Little in that gorgeous but mostly empty space to make this recording?
It was cool. We've played in that space before, so it was neat to see the amount that it's sort of changed, and it looks really great in there, and it was nice to be able to play and make music again. It was a little nerve-wracking because I was just way more analytical about it than I probably needed to be, but there's sort of the worry involved and anxiety of playing in front of cameras and whatnot. So that was it made for a funny experience, you know.
Well, no, it's
interesting for people to see it.
I'll get Josh on this in a second. It's interesting you say that though, Sam, because I have a couple of brothers who played music for many years, very, very successfully, you know, sort of regionally in the Cleveland Midwest, and recorded a bunch of times. And they would always tell me that when they, you know, if they were recording a live CD back in the days we did that, or a live album, that they tried to just capture sort of the energy of the live show, but it's hard not to be overly analytical because you know that every note is recorded. Whereas when you're just cutting it loose live, you know, if you're not perfectly on, it's more about the energy of the show and connecting with the audience as opposed to the technicality of it. I mean, is that sort of the difference you're drawing?
Exactly. And the fact that there was, like, I mean, it was kind of fun to just imagine an audience and imagine the fact that it's going to be people kind of sitting at home watching it, mm-hmm. and sort of playing to that idea, which really affected me a couple times, and I'll let people see it when they when they watch the video.
How do you see that, Josh?
Yeah, I mean, with the anxiousness that Sam was mentioning, like, I hadn't felt that in so long. And it just kind of, you know, like, I was so in my head about, like, that we were actually playing a show, kind of, that I think we, you know, we all kind of messed up a good amount of times just because we were, like,
right.
Couldn't stop thinking about that, you know? Like, I found myself just, like, trailing off into my brain about, like, oh, this is really loud. You know, like, this is really happening. and yeah, I mean, it just felt good to be on a stage playing music with like an actual, you know, theater going. And I take walks by the little theater like super often, and I like leading up to everything that happened, I remember, like, just peeking in the windows and stuff, just really looking forward to seeing the new, like, the renovated theater. And then, you know, I don't think they even got to open it. So it's nice to be able to do something in there, you know, and put it to use after, you know, they like renovated it so nicely.
Well, we at WXXI, we're thrilled to even think about the idea of audiences packing the Little, whether it's during a jazz festival, whether it's just for its performances like the one that we'll play in just a second here from May Bird, or just seeing films. But that's life right now. And I want to play a little bit of Gonna Lose Your Mind from May Bird, and we'll come back and talk about it. May Bird's Gonna Lose Your Mind. Josh, tell us about this tune.
This tune, it came out last year. It feels more like a 2020 song, but it's kind of about just knowing that you're gonna go crazy, whatever the circumstance. You just, you know, it's gonna happen, and you're just like, I accept it. I'm gonna lose my mind, you know.
Yeah, the atmospheric there, the atmospherics there, Josh, really do feel very. It's very on-brand pandemic, man. I mean, like, it feels sort of prescient when you think about that it came out a year ago.
Yeah. It was a prediction.
Sam, you want to add to that on this one?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny how many shapes this song kind of took, because it was in that show, too. And it was funny to, like, see it last year when it got put in that show, and it was like, oh man, that's tense. And it like kind of took this, I can't believe I'm blanking on it. Josh, what is the name of the show?
Are you talking about Shameless?
Shameless.
The show Shameless. And
the scene that they used it in Shameless, like, I didn't think of it like the way they used it. And it made me like really tense up. And then it's funny to think of it now. It's like, oh yeah, this song is like shape-shifted with every couple months or something.
Actually, I actually think that's a testament to the song. I really do.
Thanks.
And before I let you guys go, let me just ask you, Josh, you know, this has been a very, very hard year for musicians, you know, for those, especially those who play a lot of live shows. There's a loss of income. There's a loss of connection with audience. There's real concern about the impact on the arts at large. For you guys going forward, what are you sort of hoping for from audiences when we get past the pandemic? Is it as simple as go see live shows? Is it more than that? Is it be willing to buy music as opposed to just download music? What do you need from audiences, Josh?
I think we need support in that when things open up again, like there are so many bands, like it's just going to be a huge cluster. Every band's going to be trying to book tours. Every, you know, venue is going to be dealing with like a ton of bands wanting to book there and kind of having to deal with like picking up from March and all the financial and, you know, all these terrible things that have been happening over probably by the time it happens years or like at least a year of just, you know, having to suffer. So I think, you know, music is something that is free a lot of the time and that people get used to that, but just like helping out your venues. We don't want to see them go. You know, I just saw that Boot and Saddle in Philadelphia closed down. It's like about like a Bug Jar size venue there. It's just going to be happening like a lot. And I think, you know, the venues and the artists just need, you know, some real support.
Yeah. So real briefly, Josh, where do people go to find your work and not just download it, but buy it and support you?
We have, I think it's maybirdmusic.com. We have a website. And our Instagram is Maybird Music, and I think all the socials are either Maybird Music or Maybird Band.
Well, the Maybird episode with Homestage at the Little on WXXI-TV airs on November 27th. That's Maybird. And shout out, by the way, to our colleague Jason Milton. Jason not only does great work here, but a hell of a musical mind and talent himself. And there's a lot of people who are really looking forward to seeing this whole month worth of music. Josh and Sam, thanks for taking the time for the program today.
Of course. Thanks for having
us.
Josh Netsky, Sam Snyder from Maybird, one of four bands that you can see as part of WXXI-TV's Homestage at the Little. Friday night's 8:30, Saturday's 11:30. Megan Max, the producer and engineer. I'm Evan Dawson. Have great music in your life, and we'll talk tomorrow.